All right, folks, welcome back to the latest Mountain West Wire football podcast. Jeremy Moss here. Matt Carnelly hanging out as well. I goofed and apparently messed up the intro or deleted a part of somehow the first top of the show, but you know who it is. You know who we are. MWWire.com is the website where you can read everything on the site, and then we talk about it here in the podcast. So not a ton of news to going on this week. We do touch on, which we'll jump right into instantly once I clip all this nice stuff together and ask Matt about Boise State naming Hank Bachmeyer the starting quarterback, because it's all but official. Harsh was like, well, I guess if we're going to have a game, he'd be the guy, but he's the guy. So we'll jump right into that. Then we'll go into a full-fledged talking Arizona, Hawaii, ton of stuff going on that matchup, quarterback change, lots of points, crazy ending. But let's get right to it as we discuss the conversation about Boise State naming their guy under center.
Yeah, and I guess it's, you know, good to know sooner rather than later, so that way Boise can just, you know, get behind their starter. And as we've talked about in past podcasts, you know, it's not like he's stepping into a less than ideal situation. He's got weapons around him. He's got very good protection in front of him. And while Brett Rippon obviously set a very high bar to clear, which, again, that's something else we've talked about in past podcasts, and I'm sure it's something we'll discuss even more thinking ahead to week one against Florida State, He's entering about as good a situation as you can find anywhere in the group of five. Yeah, unless your name is, you know, Trevor Lawrence or something like that. It's probably not going to get a lot better than it would be for someone like Bachmeyer.
Yeah, it's like for those, there is a slight concern with any time getting a brand new quarterback and it being a true freshman quarterback. So there's always those type of things. But history's on Boise's side, right? Brett Rippon. This will be only their second true freshman QB to start since they moved up to FBS, and I think third ever. But you go to Rippon, fine. Kellen Moore, redshirt freshman, obviously very fine. I don't know. You probably expect somewhere, who knows, even if he's 10% less than Rippon overall, that's really good still. So All we need to know is what, we'll see what happens. He plays Florida State, pretty tough opponent. Chase Cord, I'm guessing, wasn't fully healthy there, but this is what they have, and there's no reason to say this putting a true freshman is going to cost him like two wins.
Well, and I forget exactly who tweeted about it earlier this week. It happened before Boise announced their decision, but somebody had put out a statistic on Twitter that noted that true freshman quarterbacks have just kind of become a larger trend across college football anyway in recent years. You know, we've seen similar announcements from Auburn, from Arizona State, from North Carolina, so it's not like Boise State's an outlier in this regard, especially at this point.
No, and freshman in general and quarterback is going to be the last position to start more of those guys.
Yeah.
And so here's a quick thing. Maybe it should be a, because we know we got FSU Twitter on our tail for this week, which is amazing. If anybody remembers the great debate, what was it, Dalvin Cook, Donnell Pumphrey?
No, it was Dalvin Cook and Jeremy McNichols.
McNichols, that's what it was. Oh, man. That was great. Good times.
Still open for debate, by the way.
Still TBD. I guess debate, not TBD. But so I put in my tweet deck to try to see if I could find that tweet you mentioned really quick. So I put in true freshman QB. Tweet number two that comes up, which maybe I'll do some research because this will be fun. LOL, Boise State starting a true freshman QB against us. Boy, oh, boy, if we lose, LOL. Well, you're only a 5-point favorite, Seminoles, so there's a chance you could lose.
Yeah.
So it's just funny. It's just going through. I'm going to go through FSU Twitter and see what goes on because it's going to be amazing. So we'll see how that goes. But that's all the news we got. It's fine. It's not the wrong choice. Let me ask you, well, before we get to our actual game, because we'll have our week one preview a couple days, do you expect to see Chase Cord at all to do what maybe Harsin did a couple years ago with Montel Cozart and Brett Rippon?
Well, I mean, if I were the head coach and I were making a decision like this, it's not like he's trying to choose between two upperclassmen, which is what they had 2 years ago with Cozart and Rippon. I think if you were choosing to start a true freshman, that you're going to give them a fair amount of leash to try and work their way through whatever situations they find themselves in, whether it's being backed up in their own red zone, whether it's trying to convert on red zone opportunities. I guess I wouldn't be surprised if they choose to do that again, because Cord does bring a different skill set to the quarterback situation. But I would, you know, if it were me, I would probably just stick with Bachmeyer and just kind of let it ride.
Might as well. Florida State, really quick, they're starting their, named their starting quarterback earlier today on Sunday. It's going to be James Blackman, so not the...
Oh, you mean the guy who's behind the center at quarterback?
Yeah, that guy. Mm-hmm.
So, like, who's doing the social media for Florida State?
I think they're still trying to hire somebody.
Oh, really?
Remember the fiasco?
So it's not the same guy that says it's still like 120 days until kickoff?
No, it probably is. It's also, remember the fiasco from Martin Luther King?
Oh, man, I do.
And so I think that person was relieved of duties. And I don't know, I heard Bud Elliott talking about it, who does all things Florida State, or knows it fairly well, says they're still looking for people. Is it the tweet that says the center?
Yeah, behind the center, at quarterback. And then at quarterback is in really small words.
And then week one you can barely read because it's black on whatever Florida Seminole red.
It's so good.
Starting behind. That makes it seem the center's like the big deal, the attraction, right?
Well, considering how bad their offensive line last year was, maybe it is.
This, oh man, looking at the replies, this is great. Oh man. We'll see. We'll see what Twitter shenanigans they come up with this week, but oh boy. Should we mock them and make a funny one of our own that's like, we'll think of something maybe to do. Just,
yeah, I'm sure, you know what, we can maybe leave that to Raja. I feel like he would be better suited to this particular task.
If he gets the wording, I'll make it for him. How about
that?
I think I'm decent at making stuff like that. So, but let's get to the games. Can we just say Mahalo from Nikolovich to Arizona?
Well, yeah, we'll get to the game by starting with that, yeah.
I guess on game day, everybody picked Arizona to win, which...
Everybody but you.
Oh, I was just going with game day. I'm like, people, listen to me, folks.
You and Klucko over there at College Football News.
That is... I don't even know what Klucko is. I think it's a coin
flip.
Well,
it says it's a coin flip. I prefer to think it's an actual chicken, though.
So do I. I make picks because we are... Sort of with, well, we kind of hang out CFN a little bit, USA Today stuff.
A loose affiliation.
Yeah, we were on their website for a while, Pete Futak, hooking us up and helping us out getting this thing started. So we make picks. And yes, I was the lone person to say Hawaii straight up. The spread was 10.5, which on the surface was ridiculous and the easiest money you could ever get in college football if you gamble.
Yeah, at least I got that one right.
Yeah, I'm like... Picking, okay, and here's the thing, too. I actually like Arizona, like, a little bit. Like, Kevin Sumlin, what he did at Houston and Texas A&M was pretty solid. I thought he got a kind of a short stick with the Aggies. He has Khalil Tate, who has been pretty electrifying, of which we saw in this game as well, for what he could do. And then, it's something like, I think they could snake a bit some team, like, in the Pac-12 South, because Utah always struggles against them. But I called it, and I'm not going to apologize for it. I got the win and nobody believed me, really. Everybody's laughing at me saying, what is this? I get replies from AZ Desert Storm people looking on their tweets because I picked the win. So I'm the smartest man of week zero.
That's true. I will give you props for that.
So, yeah. But was it really, like, honestly, do you think this was really that big of an upset? It's only upset because the line says it was, right?
Well, I mean, I think that you and I are both in agreement that, you know, Arizona is not going to be a bad Pac-12 team this year. But, I mean, we talked about it in our preview. I just thought that Arizona's defensive playmakers, this sounds really weird to say, considering the fact that they created eight turnovers?
No, it was six. Four picks and two fumbles.
Oh, okay. I don't know why it's saying eight on.
They had two. They had a couple.
Maybe
as well
just
on their
it end. Felt like eight turnovers.
How many Let's tips? Yeah, how many tips and drops that were there too.
But I wasn't expecting them to come out and get shredded for most of the first half, and it kind of gave me a little bit of deja vu just how the game developed because it ended up being, you know, outside from the turnovers, which we'll talk more about in a moment. Very, very similar to what Hawaii ultimately did in the opener last year at Colorado State.
They were behind big, right? They came back, correct?
No, they had a big lead and they almost gave away.
Oh, that's
away.
What it was. Okay. Yeah, it's similar. It wasn't that big of a lead, but they're up 14. I think, was that their largest lead? I believe 14?
I think so, yeah.
So, but no, you're not wrong. It's like this team, like what I kind of thought would happen, which we discussed, Jonathan, their running back there, sorry, J.J. Taylor, I think it was the Wisconsin guy, would rush like crazy. He's probably the third best running back in the Pac-12, which has some really good ones, and Eno Benjamin from ASU and Zach Moss from the Utes. But he only had 67 yards, and they kind of shut him down. And like Khalil Tate had a really good game, over 469 total yards, like over 100 running, 361 passing. Like, I think he's really good. He showed he's really good. It's just that defense is just terrible. Like, we'll talk about the quarterback switcheroo, but like, Hawaii goes for it on fourth down. They're what, 2 for 2? Like the Rolo, it's like YOLO is Rolo because he doesn't care and he gets it every time.
I think they were ultimately 2 of 3, and that was one of Cole McDonald's interceptions.
Yeah, they started 2 of 2 though. That first drive, they got a fourth down. They went for it on, was it 4th and 1? They got it, and then I forget the other one. But they started off pretty early, going for that and making it. And then here's the thing: Arizona should have known it was coming because, like you mentioned before, and they did through the broadcast, Hawaii was a high percentage on fourth down and went for it a lot as well. But what I noted real quick, I'll get to the quarterback thing. I'll get to that later. As when they made the switch, but like this game, like I hope everybody watched this game, right? As many people as possible.
Yes.
Because you said it perfectly in one of our recap or previews. Hawaii may not be good, but they're sure as heck is going to be exciting to watch.
Absolutely.
And that proved this exactly 100%.
And I think that what's most interesting about the way that Hawaii won this game is, you know, I thought that the newer guys that were stepping into the starting lineup were going to be some of those guys who might need to contribute a lot. But it was actually, for the most part, the guys who played big roles last year who stepped up and just kind of came out the gates firing. You know, we mentioned Cole McDonald, which quarterback situation in a minute. But Cedric Bird, man. Oh. Mr. Week 0, 14 catches, 224 yards, and 4 touchdowns.
3 in the first half.
Pretty good.
Who's John Asura? Who's that guy again? I don't know.
Well, and not only that, but you know, the running game didn't necessarily blow anybody away, but between the two of them, Dayton Fruita and Miles Reed did have 14 carries for over 80 yards. Mm-hmm. And for a part of that offense that last year was basically non-existent in the second half of the year, even something like that is a significant step in the right direction, if you're asking me.
Yeah, a touch better, but it was still good. I mean, I'd like a touch better yardage, but it's still over 5 yards of carries, what you want, really.
Yeah, and not only that, you know, they had a few chunk plays as well. You know, Fruita had 2 runs of more than 10 yards, and Miles Reed had one of his own. So it wasn't all Cole McDonald trying to do everything with both his arms and his legs.
He tried as best he could.
Yeah.
Like, so, okay, here's the thing. How excited should we be in this game? Because Arizona, who I felt with what Khalil Tate and Taylor could do, they might, like I said, sting somebody in the Pac-12 that they shouldn't really be on the same level. Do you even think, is this even a bowl team, Arizona?
I mean, I think we talked about it briefly during the preview. I think that they could be.
I do, too. I think their offense, like with Taylor and Tate, are good enough to, like, really quick, if you look at the Pac-12 South, Colorado, not very good. Who knows at UCLA? Who knows at USC? So many question marks in that South Division outside of Utah.
Mm-hmm.
Like Arizona State, freshman quarterback. They have a good running back. There's so many question marks on those teams. I don't know who they play in another division, but that's still like they should be okay. But like, is this just like I look at the guys, AZ Desert Storm. They thought like Swarm. I mean, they feel like this is like a terrible coaching job. Like, was Kevin Sumlin outcoached in this game, or did he have a bad coaching performance?
When you create 6 turnovers and lose, I mean, I don't know if it's a matter of being out-coached. I think that, you know, obviously the interceptions were a big part of the narrative for how this game ultimately unfolded, but there were certain situations that his players just got beat flat out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, on the long touchdown that he had to JoJo Ward, for instance, like, I don't think they were doing...
Which one?
Well, JoJo Ward only scored 1 touchdown.
Oh, sorry. I thought I was thinking Cedric Bird. Sorry.
You know, they were just like, especially on the defensive side of the ball, there were just certain plays where the receivers were running open, wide open. And so I don't know if that's a matter of getting out-coached as much as just getting out-athleted.
They
I mean,
were.
I know that sounds really cliche and it's not even a word, but you get my drift.
They were not happy with Marcel Yates' play calling on defense.
No, I can imagine so. And I mean, when you look at the chunk plays that the Warriors were able to create, you know, they had 9 altogether of more than 15 yards. But, you know, of those 9, 7 of them were more than 20 yards. And then, you know, they had the 39-yard touchdown to Ward. They had a 35-yard touchdown to Bird. And then another 30-yard touchdown to Bird. You know, 41 yards. So they were just, it wasn't like they were like little chunk plays. They were giving up huge plays throughout the game.
Yeah, and like that, like, I get you created those turnovers because you got to, dude, hold on to the ball, guys. That's a problem, too. Here's one thing, like, the defense, too. They had the 6 turnovers. They also had 6 TFLs against Hawaii. So they seem to come up like great plays or just crap the bed. Mm-hmm. There is no in between for 90% of the game for Arizona's defense.
Well, and here's the other thing. I mean, I guess the one big argument I would make in maybe getting out coached is why did J.J. Taylor only get 14 carries?
Yeah, exactly. It's like,
and especially early on, why were they letting Khalil Tate throw so much? Like I know that he's not like a bad passer. But I would have thought that early on, when you're trying to, when you know you've got to try and keep that offense off the field, why they weren't leaning on Taylor more. You know, they went 3 and out on what, their first 2 or 3 drives?
They went 3 and out on their first 3, and one of those was an interception on the first drive, and they were down 14-0.
Yeah. And then by that point, they needed to lean on Tate to try and bring them all the way back, and they're lucky that he was basically a yard away from doing it.
Yeah, I got Kevin Dyson at the 1 yard line.
Yeah, exactly.
But like, yeah, you're right. Like, that was my thought too. Like, especially with, did they not study Hawaii last year? Because we know Hawaii is a quick scoring team. They will basically what we saw. They're not necessarily erratic, which they are, but like the offense wants to make big plays and score quickly.
Mm-hmm.
You have the ultimate equalizer to that by slowing that down and limiting the amount of possessions Hawaii has by running the ball with one of the best running backs in the country, who's really good. And they elected to not do that. Because here's, even if you're down 14-0, let's say that next drive, which it was, they gave it to Taylor a couple times, they got the touchdown, great. Now you're back in this game where it's only one touchdown. Why not, okay, take control of the game. Hawaii forced Arizona to play the way they probably didn't really want to play this game.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like I said, Taylor, give him the ball, he should have maybe 20 carries. And here's the thing, too. A third of his yards came on one play as well.
That, too.
And so the Hawaii defense still did a pretty good job giving, like, 67 yards. Take away that one run, which, whatever, it's 13 for, like, 40. He's just very, very pedestrian overall. And that, the Hawaii defense, like, there's a point in this game. Like, in that second half, this Hawaii's defense is leading this team. Those couple of drives in that second half where there's interception, there seemed a million in a row. They were forcing 3 straight punts in a row after on that drive where the back-to-back fumble possessions. And so that defense is making big plays. Like, the 3 and outs this game is, like, we don't praise Hawaii's defense too much because it's usually not great. But they, besides the turnovers they forced, they had those first 3 drives were 3 and outs. They had another drive, 2 more in the second half that were 3 and out at least. They had 5, trying to count here really quick. Yeah, 5 3 and outs in the whole game. That's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely still some work to do just because, you know, and they still allowed 539 yards total offense. And, you know, it was 7.6 yards per play, which is good but not great.
Mm-hmm.
But considering that they were really up against it with the turnovers all throughout the game, you know, even though most of those turnovers were on Arizona's side of the field, there's still work to do. But yeah, you do have to give them a lot of credit for kind of working. You know, the offense was giving them lemons, and they were making lemonade out of it.
You are -4 and still win this game.
Yeah,
that doesn't happen.
Not usually. No,
that's rare. And this game, like, had everything. Like, it's funny. Like, okay, let's get to the quarterback switch here. So, okay. I'm glad I didn't do my quarterback rankings. I was going to do it, but I'm going to wait until after week one. So, Cole McDonald was like, oh, he's healthy. He's going to be great. He's this guy. Watching him play. And then, did you notice how many times Aaron Taylor and whoever brought up the stat? Dude, when Cole McDonald is under pressure, he's just so good. When he's running on the pocket getting hits, almost, he's so good. Do you really want that to be when he's really good, when he's being chased for his life? Probably not. You don't want him to be bad, but you don't want his numbers to be to spike dramatically after that, when he's on the run and the pockets collapse, you know, whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
So, were you agreeable with the switch that was made? Did you like it?
I could see the argument for it, yeah.
That fourth pick was terrible.
And because I had to go back, because I wanted to watch all the big-time throws that McDonald actually made, and you can find the condensed game on YouTube if you want to see it for yourself.
Do it if you
Because
haven't.
I wanted to double-check to make sure that, you know, there weren't any interceptions that weren't necessarily his fault. That wasn't really the case, though. You know, the first one he threw into double coverage, which was an easy pick by Jace Whitaker, you know, and it seemed like at least two of the other three were situations where he either didn't see a defender or thought that he could just kind of thread a needle that wasn't available.
The fourth one across the body,
yeah,
middle of
that
field,
was the
I'm
most
like,
egregious
what are you doing?
One.
It's like, you cannot do that. It's like, no. Just even if he threw it on time and set his feet better, that DB could have still made a jump and at least get in the way of the pass of some sort.
And again, you know, it's not like he was making really tough, really good throws when he was throwing touchdowns too,
yeah,
you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you could see his confidence in his arm one way or the other, but it was one of those things where, yeah, it was getting a little bit dicey. So I could see where they wanted to bring Cordero in, because it's not like Cordero hasn't performed in tough situations before.
Remember that UNLV game last year? He came from behind and led them to victory.
Well, in the Wyoming game as well.
Yeah, I always remember the UNLV is like 21 points or something, like in 5 minutes.
Yeah, and so he ended up giving the offense exactly what they needed. You know, he's 5 of 7, 58 with the one touchdown throw. And he also contributed on the ground too. Mm-hmm. You know, he had 34 yards and on only 5 carries. So that was fairly significant.
Also, watching the game, Cole McDonald has like the craziest windup. Watching Cordero, and I saw Cordero people on Twitter, like, I know Tom Fornelli tweeted a ton about this game. I follow him over at CBS. He's like, man, he looks better, but Cole McDonald made the game so much more exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Which just him, he's like, okay, I'm going to back up. I'm going to throw traditional quarterback instead of McDonald running like he got chicken with head cut off at the farm. He's like, what do I do? Okay, you're open. No, wait, interception. And I don't know what they're going to do. They do have 2 weeks off, which is good. They play Oregon State in a couple weeks at home. And Rolovich basically said he had to do it because of 4 picks. He's like, we got to take him out. Because that fourth one was just dreadful. What do you think they're going to do, Matt? What's the decision? Who's going to be, as Florida State says, behind the center in all caps?
If it were me, I would probably stick with McDonald. But
why?
I think that you would have to... Obviously, I'm not as well trained as other guys are in looking at film or things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it seemed like he was just being too aggressive for his own good.
Yeah,
which we saw a little bit of last year here and there.
Looks like trying to be Brett Favre out there or something times 10.
Yeah, and so I think that, you know, when he is on, as he was for most of that first half, like, he's sensational. But when things started getting away from him a little bit, that's when you have to figure out how to rein that aggressiveness in.
Yeah, I agree. He tries to do too much. He's like, his window he thinks he sees, it's open. It's like slammed shut and locked with a padlock and a door in front. He's like, I can make that in there.
And I don't expect that Oregon State, which we'll talk about it when we get to that point, Oregon State's not going to be probably as tough a challenge, especially on the defensive side of the ball.
No.
So, you know, again, I think there's a perfect opportunity to take the bye week and kind of look back at the film, see what was going wrong, and then just, you know, find ways to make better choices.
Well, they better, because after that they got Washington up in Seattle.
That's true.
And so, oh man. So, like, was this game everything you thought it was?
Yeah, it was.
Unless you're Pat Forty, this game was great.
Yeah, well, who knows? What does that guy know?
Hanging out at the press box in Orlando until 3 a.m. Like, dude, get a life and watch my football. I guess we should mention the final play of the game. Oh, there's a couple of things I want to note about this game. The late field goal by Arizona.
Impressive.
What was that, 3 false starts in a row?
Hey, whatever works, right?
I watched it. I'm like, I was behind. I saw it on Twitter. I'm like, I'm closing Twitter because I was watching it on Fubo and Stream. I was behind by a touch because it's not the connection of cable or satellite. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to shut down because it's getting a close game. I don't want to see it happen because I want to see how as it's going. False start, terrible false starts. He makes them, and then that's a pretty big field goal because they're thinking about maybe they should go for it, how fourth and short. He nails the field goal, which is it basically describes the game all day. Screw up, screw up, screw up. Nailed it. Exactly. But the final play of the game, Hawaii, Arizona is what, fourth and 10. They're at the 31-yard line. Tate looks back. Hawaii defense did great. Nobody's open. He tries to pull a Vince Young way too far back and takes off and goes. And then, did you? I know everybody's probably mentioned it or seen it. If you haven't seen it, watch the replay again and look where Manley Williams is. He rushes the quarterback. Tate sidesteps and gets around him. He does a U-turn, follows him all the way down the field,
Ran him down.
basically ran him down. Tate, because here's the had Tate, the first guy that got Tate about the was one or two. There's a potential if Manley was not right behind him to basically bring him down, he could have bounced off maybe and extended for a touchdown there.
That was Kalen Hicks, by the way.
Okay, next, yeah, that first, like, he made a good hit to stop him short of the goal line, but without Williams being behind him and next to him to bring him down for sure. Who knows if Tate could have just stumbled his way and not, because you know, as you get knocked, you run another 4 yards because of whatever reason. It's like you go, it's like when you go down the mountain or something down that big hill, you keep going step, 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 step.
Oh, yeah.
That could have happened right there, and he could have just fallen in the end zone, and overtime was on its way. But Manley came out of, not out of nowhere, but he went step for step with a really good quarterback and a fast guy, and Tate made the big play. Who, amazing. So this game had everything. Also, Matt, this means this could be your team that you picked to not do well to be really good.
I picked them to do
Six
okay.
and seven. Six.
Six and seven.
Yeah.
I mean, I told you they were going to be really hard to predict.
They are.
You seem to have them pegged,
Hey.
though.
I don't need to be too confident at the moment because I don't want to screw up and go like 0 for 12 the rest of the way for
Yeah,
Hawaii.
well, we'll see how that goes.
But this is redemption for me for last year because some guys I work with, when they played BYU, it's like, hey, what's going on? I'm like, trust me, take Hawaii. It was like Zach Wilson's first start. Trust me, there'll be lots of points. Hawaii's got this. Don't or they pick Hawaii and he, for the rest of the season, never let me have it. He kept giving it to me. Dude, you picked Hawaii, I'm not listening to you ever again. So maybe this pick will kind of be redemption for that. But it was an exciting game. Like this game, yeah, it starts a little bit late, but the best thing about Hawaii football now, they're all five other. Is it five more? Whatever. Five other home games are on Facebook. Two more are on Facebook on the mainland, so you don't have to worry about the Mountain West Network, only watching on your phone or stadium, can't cast it to your TV. There's no excuse to watch Hawaii football as much as possible this year. Because if any game for them is within 20% of this, it's well worth your time to, if you're on the East Coast, to stay up till midnight and then stay finish the game at 3 a.m. to see what happens.
It's going to be so good.
I will say this, the Central Arkansas game, yeah, you can tune out for that one, I guess. I won't be too hard on you, right?
You never know what you're going to miss, though.
I know, that's the thing, but I'm just saying, if there's a
We
game to
should be
pick,
encouraging people to tune in no matter
we
what.
should, but I'm just saying, if something happens,
Okay.
I
All
won't
right.
blame you. But Air Force, Fresno, San Jose State, San Diego State, I'm just saying, they got Army, whew. There's a stat real quick. I think Cedric Bird had more receptions, Army like had completions all of last year or something. Or the most of the game, or something absurd by that.
I did see something about that.
All right, so if we're redoing picks a little bit really quick, not that we'll, but does this win like slow up, like give you more confidence that Hawaii can maybe even contend for the West?
Well, I mean, I never said that they couldn't.
I know.
I just wasn't sure if the defense was going to be able to keep up.
I'm still not sure about that.
It's still an open question. But I can't wait to see what the answer is.
Exactly, and here's why. When I put my bold prediction, they'll beat Boise State. Look at this game. Just saying. Like the defense, we're not sure about because so many points. But when plays came down to it, they basically made the plays when they needed to. Like the second half, they got pinned back. Those back-to-back fumbles, they had to come up and stop three and outs. They had to make the play at the end of the game. There were plays like Tate. Yeah, did burn them a bit. Got plays, but they made some good plays despite giving up the amount of yards they did. So if they can tone that down, and looking at with playing with Tate being the quarterback, he's going to be the most I'll say the most athletic quarterback they face all year. pretty sure it's safe to say. Maybe the Air Force guys, just because of the style of play. But, like, when they play Fresno and Jorge Reyes, he's a throwing quarterback. Same with Boise. I guess Armani Rodgers would be up there as well, UNLV. But there's not many quarterbacks that are like Tate they'll have to deal with the rest of the way. I mean, I'll probably just say Rodgers is the only one that's comparable.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
And so, but, man, it's exciting. Week zero, how do you feel?
Well,
we had one game. It was exciting. Next week, we got a million games.
Yeah.
So we So here's the deal. Hey, well, actually, do you have any final thoughts on this game, or are you good?
No, I mean, I just, you know, I can't wait. I can't believe we have to wait 2 more weeks for the next one.
I know. I think Oregon State. Also, really quick, this was the 5th victory the Mountain West has over the Pac-12.
And there's going to be opportunities for more.
There are 2 more next week when Fresno takes on USC, who, spoiler, they're a double-digit dog. Wait for my pick on that one. I'm just saying.
Okay.
I don't know.
All right. All right.
And then you got, what's the other, Colorado State. Not so confident in that one with the Rams getting the victory, but we'll see. Anything could happen because Colorado's not really that good either.
That's very true.
So here's the plan for playing Sunday. This, well, we'll talk. It's Labor Day and I got some stuff going on, so we'll keep that. That might be later. Typically, Wednesday, midday, Sunday, late morning. And we're going to do what we did last year. We're going to have like our bowl predictions every week, even the week zero, because we like to do that, Matt, just because, right?
Mm-hmm.
We like to page views, people stop by. We will have, we're doing something different too. Like the recap I did was sort of straightforward, but not. We're going to make like a one post. Like, so if you want to keep track of the games all day, like, oh, what happened to game two or game three? We'll have our scoreboard post with like a blurb of the recap. But then if you or me or whoever wants to do a different recap, it might be more a fun type recap, because straight recaps, Matt, they're kind of boring, right?
Yeah, that's true.
So we're going to try to mix it up, have some fun. Maybe it'll be like, here's a couple things we learned. Here's a key play we want to break down. Here's I saw a post of the highlights, because I could have done that for the Hawaii game. Put every single score, because that would have been blissful enough to watch and go back and review. So we'll have some different type of recap for the week. We're doing, like, so I get the hot seat rankings this week because I'm so late on that. We're going to have everything we did last year, power rankings. Have you done your power rankings this week? Because we are doing week zero power rankings, Matt.
I did.
Where'd you put Hawaii? Just let everybody know.
Oh, man, where did I put Hawaii? I didn't think to write it down. They were somewhere in the middle of the pack, I can tell you that much.
I think I did the same. I didn't do what Raj did, who put them second. But, which I cannot argue against, because they beat a P5 team, and they did fairly well, and they should be top half anyways, I think, so.
We'll see.
Look for that this week. We'll have a couple other things going on, but that's it. Week zero in the books, and we still probably went out almost an hour as I'm checking my time here, so you're welcome. And for the people who like to listen in traffic, we appreciate that as well. We got a couple of messages, and our buddy Daniel in Fresno asked us, when are we going to be on Spotify? I'm working on it, Daniel. We'll see.
Fingers crossed.
Because like I said a couple weeks ago, we don't play theme music, and so that shouldn't matter for Spotify, because I guess they're really particular if you have any sort of actual licensed music. So we'll see how that goes. But that's it for this one. Check us out, MWW, for Mountain West Football. If you haven't subscribed, go to iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn. We're on radio.com, basically anywhere you get your podcast. And we'll be back in just a couple days for week one when we get a full slate of games, Matt.